Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everybody, this is such an exciting podcast. We have here at the Australian C3 National Conference, Regional Conference, we have the leaders, Lars and Megan Halverson.
Hi, Pastor Phil.
Great to have you here. We also have one of the most exciting churches in our movement is in Canberra, and Mel Hines and her husband Nick run that. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
And we also have a church from Port Macquarie, who was one of my pastors on our pastoral team when I was in Sydney, and he moved up there with his wife, Natalie. So Hartley and Natalie are now leading a church that has tripled in size in just the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Phil, it has.
Great to have you. What's your secret?
Follow what you taught me.
I see you fishing.
I do
all
fish
the time.
A lot. Recreation's
with big
important.
Fish.
Yeah.
What's that like up there at Port Macquarie?
It's just heaven on earth. It's beautiful.
You go catch a fish? Do you surf?
I surf still. Swim.
Swim?
Walk the beach, catch fish. It's awesome.
So is that the key to growing your church at the rate you are? Should other pastors do that?
It helps. You've got to do something with your time, spare time.
I think it helps.
It does refresh
I think it
you.
Helps.
Yeah, well, you're a fisherman too.
Yeah, totally. Well, most of the disciples are really, aren't they?
There you go. You've got an edge on us, obviously.
You've actually done pretty well when you've come fishing with me, Pastor Phil.
The Barramundi.
Got a big one.
The Barramundis, yeah. So you guys went on a 15,000 kilometer.
Yeah, that's right.
Road trip.
You took how many months off?
Three.
3 months off.
Long service leave. Yeah.
What's that like, leaving your church in the hands of some of your people and just trusting the Lord?
Yeah, it was quite a big thing. I think as much as we like to think it's God's church and you kind of leave it to him and trust him, it really does mess with you a little bit when you're like, wow, I'm leaving this for 3 months. Is it going to be okay without me? But so it's actually a very good exercise to go through. But I found, once we got on the road, you just get to that point where you just lay it down and you go, you know what, it is God's church. Obviously, he's used us to a degree, but we've got a great team. We're just going to trust God that the church is going to flourish while we're away. And that's exactly
right. What
happened, which was awesome.
So you also sort of gave over the leading of Australia, because you guys are the leaders of C3 Australia. So Sean and Morella White down in Tasmania.
Yep.
How did they go?
They stepped up. They did a phenomenal job. Look, I think it's really healthy for us to do things like that. So we don't think that the whole world revolves around us. And if, you know, you don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You know that you've got a great team around you.
Fantastic.
They're very capable. And you give them opportunities and they rise.
Fantastic. Now, you had a bit of an adventure on this trip. You had one where you told us in your message yesterday about passing a very big truck. Tell us quickly about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, we were on a big road trip. We got caught behind a big mining truck in the mining area of Western Australia. And there's no way past. This thing was taking 3/4 of the road. But they have what they call a pilot vehicle ahead of it to warn people coming the other way, and behind it to slow people down coming behind it. We came up behind it and we got a call through on our radio. And
didn't you have another truck behind you?
There was a big road train coming up behind us. He wanted to get through. And the pilot vehicle, actually, they were talking to each other on the radio and we were overhearing, and the pilot vehicle said, mate, you need to slow down. I got to get this caravan through first. And that was us.
You were towing a caravan?
We were towing a caravan, yeah. We pulled the kids out of school for 3 months and we were just doing the family road trip. So that was us. And so, yeah, so then he called us. He said, we've got some clear road. We pulled out to overtake, but then all of a sudden the road turned into a bend. And so we're in double lines, just one line each way. There's only 1/4 of the width of the road to go on, and we cannot see what's in front of us. And in your mind, you're just thinking that there is going to be a car coming around the corner.
Oh, totally.
And Megan was freaking out next to me. Kids are freaking out. Everyone's, it's just so
didn't
unnatural.
Feel natural.
It's so unnatural to be driving on the wrong side of the road. You can't see what's coming around.
And you're trusting the pilot.
But it was the voice of the pilot that called us through.
Come on.
And
you're such a preacher.
No, but Megan said to me, she said, what are you doing? Get back in there. go back. Yeah. And I said, no, no, the pilot called us through.
I
and
was when the voice I said of the devil, that,
when, the voice of Eve. Yeah. So, but when I said that, no, the pilot called us through.
Right.
Then I realized, hang on. There's more to this story.
Oh, yeah, boy. So. Well, and how many times do you find yourself in a situation where that's all you're trusting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard from God. There's a bend in the road. I can't see what's coming up. It feels dangerous, but we're going to step out anyway.
God's called us.
We've heard the voice of the Lord.
100%. Yeah.
Now, you said you took your kids out of school, and right next to me is one of the most caring people about children that I know of. Mel has made safe church practice a revival in Australia. You've done so well with that. Besides leading this church, you also look after our whole safe church for children. And it's such an important area because I am so thankful to God personally for you, because you have brought life to something that could be a bit dreary for some people. I mean, I don't mean caring for kids is dreary. I mean, the whole compliance factor.
Absolutely.
And you've really reinvigorated that area so that our C3 churches are safe.
Yeah, yeah. And I think with Safe Church, I took it on 3 years ago, and it was a bit of a moment of coming out of my lane and like going forward, following the pilot's voice. And I think because of that, though, the Holy Spirit just got on what I'm doing.
Right.
And I think I was saying to someone just this morning, because people do say that a lot, like, how do you actually preach Safe Church, or how do we get this sense of the Holy Spirit on this area, even in conference or in our local churches? I think the Holy Spirit's just ready.
Right.
I think we, as pastors and leaders, as we embrace this area and really understand that we're called to keep people safe and to build trust in those environments, then the Holy Spirit's he's ready.
Right. And this is a really important topic, Mel, because the trust in church has taken a beating.
It has, yep.
And so what you're doing is very important, recovering the credibility in the community for mums and dads trust. We can take our kids down to the children's work, and it's going to get looked after. And it's so important that kids do experience God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But we just need to make sure that there are boundaries on everybody's life, and that the people who are looking after them are checked out.
Yeah.
And to have somebody who cares about that with a passion like yourself is so invigorating for pastors to see and thinking, okay, I can actually inspire our team about this.
Absolutely. It's an area that really, it all goes well till it doesn't. And so we need to remember that this is an area that protects our children. It protects the people around us. But it also, as you said, I love that idea of rebuilding trust. And, you know, Australia in particular has been through such a big journey where trust had been lost. Mm-hmm. And I guess part of my role and why I get so passionate about it is because I see glimpses of trust being rebuilt in the church, in the local church, whether it's kids' church or even, you know, in the community.
With leaders,
and, you know, we want people to drive past our churches and say, hey, I want to be in there because that's a place I can trust. They're people I can trust. And so the passion I have kind of comes from that place, because if we can get people trusting in the local church, they're going to meet Jesus.
They are.
Right? We need that as a platform. Yeah. I know people have these amazing experiences with the Lord, but often it starts with a trust in a person or an organization like C3, and then they meet Jesus and they feel like they can open their heart to Him. So,
and it's not just about meeting Jesus or getting saved or coming to Christ in a moment.
No.
It's actually providing an environment for families for years and years and years.
Yep, generations.
So that the kids are looked after, the teenagers are looked after, and that's why we started a school.
Yeah.
So that we could encourage parents to raise children in an environment where they're going to learn values that gave them a compass for navigating life properly.
Absolutely.
And so I think it begins right there in church with families feeling like, okay, the church environment, the Christian environment, is a good environment for us to continue our lives in, not just to come along to a Christmas or Easter production.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's the responsibility of all of us as leaders to carry that.
Right.
Not just the one or two, but all of us together. And I think look, I see pastors across the board want to do this well.
Right.
They really do.
They
are in the business of loving and caring for people.
Right.
And so, you know, if we can help resource that as a movement, as a region, man, I'm in.
It helps. It definitely
helps.
I'll
do it as long as you
want me. Jesus said, I will build my church, and this is part of it. So Lars and Megan, like, you're seeing the church grow around Australia, like Hartley's. As we move into the future, this morning's prayer meeting was astonishing.
Yeah. It's great.
Astonishing. Because number one, maybe half the room was under the age of 35.
Yeah.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, praying there en masse for more than 5 minutes, an hour. All of those factors. And then you start to hear these people praying, and in their voice, there is the sound of the future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a culture that you've built into C3. Every conference, every gathering I've been to over 20 years, personally, there's been early morning prayer. And so all we need to do these days is just say, hey, guys, we're praying at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Right. Everyone's there.
I know.
Yeah.
That is just a culture that has been developed.
And we're hearing as well from a lot of our churches at the moment, there's just this real hunger, particularly in young people, like altars filled, just extended times in worship, in the presence of God. There's just this hunger like we haven't seen for a little while coming out of COVID. So I think there's a real momentum that's coming from that as well. And God is definitely moving in Australia.
Yeah.
Exciting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hartley, do you find that? I mean, Port Macquarie is like, in my mind, it's where you go to retire. It's a kind of a sleepy, relaxed beachside area. And yet here we've got our fastest growing church in Australia there.
It's changed, I think. Post-COVID, a lot of people, you know, left major cities at times. So it is a growing area.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the things that you have wanted to be in C3 that we've taken on board, the presence of God, true north for salvations, developing leaders. A lot of those elements, if they're in the local church, people will be drawn. There's water there.
So how did you get to be taking on that church? Tell us the story.
Well, I loved serving under you, Pastor Phil. We were loving it.
Why did you leave?
Western Sydney. the pilot spoke.
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
True, though. Three times. I got confirmation three times. And I'm like, okay, there's a change coming. What is it?
Yeah.
And then it was, Port Macquarie needs some leaders. And it just grew and developed. But that voice of the pilot was critical because we arrived and, you know, we had to really build something up. But having that voice.
Yeah.
And I rang a close friend of mine just when I was about to move. I said, Richie, you know, I'm moving to Port Macquarie to lead a church. Within 5 minutes, he sent me a link to a song that has a tag in it. He's done it before, he'll do it again.
Right.
And I've sat on that for all of these years.
Wow.
It was a promise from God because we saw amazing things in Silverwater.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, God, I'm standing on that. So it's that element of faith, like, you know, it's the house of God. It's Jesus is.
Did you get a house when you went there?
I'm still doing stuff in Sydney with property.
I saw that.
And so
work in progress.
Yeah, there's big stuff there before we
But you had a few bumps when you first landed in that church, right?
Well, the church had gone through a hard season, which is not uncommon, you know.
That's some people there were a bit upset with the place.
There was. So, so we just had to navigate with that. And
how'd you do that?
Well, God was kind because we'd seen what yourself, Pastor Chris, and Simon and Helen McIntyre had done at Silverwater.
Right.
We had witnessed.
Oh, yeah, that was a very bumpy ride.
And that was bumpy. But, you know, but Simon loved the people.
Yeah.
And we took that on board and thought,
love the people.
They just need a whole lot of love. When we first arrived, they don't need faith. They just want love. So we've learned God
Say
had
that
used
again.
That. People
they don't need
love.
A whole lot of faith and vision.
They need love, particularly in a transition and a heart when the church has gone through. So we were able to have learned from the Silverwater experience and do it there.
So tell us this. How did you love people who were in a bumpy ride in the church?
You listen to them.
Listen to them. You think that's...
I think just listen and find areas where you almost agree with them instead of saying, but what about that? Like just kind of...
Rather than defending yourself,
just take
justifying
it.
Action, you say, you're right.
Yeah.
We're a mess.
Take it on.
Yeah.
We apologize. And often it wasn't. We hadn't been there. We've been walked into.
So you apologise for other people's mistakes?
For other people, and just say, look, you know, beautiful. And have a heart for them and love for them, and just say, look, I'm sorry.
Such a good message.
And then I think things just eventually settle, and then you just let God do the God stuff. And,
right.
And you just keep showing up.
Do you know Jesus said, resist not evil? It's an amazing statement. Yeah, he said, and he's not talking about sinful evil. He's talking about when somebody strikes you a blow on your cheek, he's saying, just roll with it. Turn to them the other one. You know, it's like, don't defend yourself. Be secure and apologize and, you know, lower the volume. It's exactly what you're saying is how it happens. How's it like up in your world, you know, Lars and Megan, loving people who've landed in Darwin, like you say, new Australians, and there must be so many disenfranchised people who turn up. Somebody told me that a long time ago that most anybody who's out of sorts with the law ends up in
historically, yes, Darwin was a great place to run and escape because it's so far from everywhere. It is 3,500 kilometres from all the right. other capital cities in Australia.
Right.
And you can hide out there and not be found for a long time. But it's changing because of migration to Australia. Darwin is a great place for people to come.
Yeah.
And, you know, we find that it is a highly transient place.
Right.
So even in just in our church in the last 3 years, we had 1,000 people leave Darwin from our church.
From your church?
And then another 1,000 new ones join our church who were new to Darwin. So,
and we had to really make a decision, didn't we, early on? Because I remember when we first moved to Darwin, we spoke to a well-meaning pastor that had been there for years, and he was like, "Oh, it's so frustrating. You invest into these leaders, and then they leave." And you know, he was obviously a bit discouraged. But we just sort of took from that, okay, we're going to make a decision just to whoever comes and for however long they're with us. It might be a 3-year job contract. We're just going to love them. We're going to believe in them. We're going to release what God wants to release through them. And hey, if we've got them for 3 years, we're going to just, that can be a great scaffold in whatever God is building in our church. So I think making a predetermined decision was quite key because you can get
we will not let this discourage us. And we had the mindset too that Jesus had the disciples for 3 years.
Mm.
This is a huge, huge point, this one, because you never have anybody in your church forever. Nobody's going to stay. They're either going to leave or die. And so you have not got them, and they're not yours. And so God gives us some people to travel with them for a season in their journey. And in today's world, everywhere is transient. And so I know I heard from a pretty significant pastor in California who estimated he had his average member in his church was 9 months.
Wow.
I got people for 9 months, but his was a church of many thousands, like over 30. And so he, like you, found that there were people coming and going. And then you've got people in some areas. It's not just for a certain time, but in a certain area, like their finances. You are their disciple maker. You are their mentor. And I think if pastors can reconcile that, then they'll be really happy when somebody is staying more than 9 months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's 18 months for us. That's the average stay in our church is 18 months. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Then what we do is we say, hey, go to the C3 church in Melbourne or wherever they're going. So we just think kingdom.
Yeah.
Think the C3 tribe. You know,
there's hardly a C3 church in Australia that doesn't have someone who's been part of our church.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we used to feel like that about Sydney. I'd go everywhere and find. And how good is that?
It's amazing.
Being part of a family where people feel like they're going to get a consistent experience in another place. It is amazing. So in Australia, Lars, we are moving forward with a great vision for the future. And I have no doubt we're going to see another batch of churches come out of this next revival.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, God's on the move.
Right.
And this younger generation who are in the prayer meeting, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is an incredible future for them. And we want to help support and encourage them and empower them that, you know, planting a church is a viable thing to do with your life.
Totally.
It's the highest thing that you could probably do for many people. And so
I think so.
Yeah. So we're just wanting to get behind them and support them however we can.
That's awesome. What would be your advice to a young person who's thinking about starting a church? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask Mel, and I ask Hartley. This is my last question. In terms of any young Turk out there saying, "Yeah, I want to have a go," what would you think is the best pathway?
Well, I'll tell you what I did.
Yeah.
Because that was me
when
I was young.
Right.
So I travelled. I moved to Sydney because I had identified you as the type of person that I wanted to, be under.
Right.
And plant the type of church that you had.
Right.
So I would identify a pastor, a leader,
right,
who I look up to, who could apprentice me.
Great.
And I would advise them to become. And it was such a big church. I was nobody in a big church. So a few rungs down, there was somebody planting a church out of your church.
Right.
And so I just went along and helped them.
Fantastic.
And so I got apprenticed by that person. So that would be my advice.
Sensational. Hartley, what would you do? If you're talking to a young guy, he's 19, and he said, "I want to start a church. You know, this is my girlfriend. What do you think we should do from here?"
I think being in C3 is helpful because of the culture of your vision and casting it out. So I think to get that on the inside, and then I think to, you know, get along, you got to get alongside someone who can support you on that journey. So if they're in that local church, I think verbally telling the pastor's awesome, this is what I want to do, and say, "Look, will you take me on that journey?" Because I think all of us would be honoured to say, "Okay, let's start praying into it. And how's your prayer life? Get some basics going and then start praying into where's the area?
Right.
You know, are we planning out of here? Like, where's the calling? Like, once you hear the pilot speak, how critical is that for planning a church or whatever? Hear that call.
Totally.
Because if God says it, he'll provide everything you need. Even if you walk to a place and you've got no job, if he's called you there, he'll provide a way.
And this pilot speaks clearly, right? I saw on Instagram where a guy put a microphone in his mouth and he's like, "The captain's me," you know. I mean, for some people, trying to hear God, it is a bit like that. They go, all I hear is, and what part of your story was that your old UHF machine, or VHF,
UHF
radio wasn't working, so you had to throw it out and get a new one.
Yeah.
And I think to be in that place where you are really hearing clearly the voice of the Lord, it's pretty important. So Mel, what's a young guy or girl do who wants to go plant a church?
Look, I know it sounds similar to what these guys have said, but I think isolation is an enemy. It's the enemy of safety. It's the enemy of healthy. Hmm. If we are isolated, we will find ourselves in tricky situations, if not detrimental situations. And so I think one of the things I would ask a young person is, who are you going to call if you don't know what to do? And so that is that intimacy that can come from the C3 movement, you know, people who look after one another. It's the, "Oh my goodness, this has just happened. What do I do?" And so I think isolation is an enemy, and you got to treat it like that. So kind of go front footed, lean in, battle it. And it will try and get you, because ultimately God is giving you these beautiful people. And like you said before, they're actually not ours. And so I think for young people going into these communities, just remember these are a precious gift, and God will send you people. I mean, I've seen it, right? You go, where did these amazing people
come from? Yeah.
And we've got to treat them like they are God's, not just ours, but God's.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be my advice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Hey, well, Mrs. Halverson, Megan. Megan is one of the most special people in all the world. I've known Megan since she was like this big.
Yeah, about seven.
About seven.
Yeah.
They joined our church in 1984, I think it was.
Yeah, about then.
Which is a long time ago. That was when dinosaurs roamed the earth. It's real old days. Her father was a headmaster, or an assistant headmaster for our school for many, many years. And it was just and it's so wonderful to see you grow through our church from a child.
Yeah.
And now
what a privilege.
You're serving the Lord and leading the Australian region. So just last words, Megan, what would you be telling a young man or woman or couple what to do in terms of serving the Lord, starting a church?
Yeah. Look, obviously everything that these guys have said, but I think the big thing for me was just don't let fear hold you back. God's ways aren't always the most comfortable or the most convenient. And so when you hear his voice, when you hear the pilot, I would just say, go bold, trust God, he's faithful. And it's amazing when you take that step of obedience and you trust that voice, how God just goes before you and provides. I mean, I never thought I'd end up in Darwin of all places, but there's a clear grace when you follow that voice. There's a grace that comes, and yeah, he's a good God. You can trust him.
That's a really interesting point, because I'm thinking of Ruth and Chris Brown, who started a Bible college for us in St. Petersburg, Russia, in the winter with a young child. I'm thinking about Hartley Taylor, who went from Sydney, which is kind of a happening place, to Port Macquarie. And I'm thinking about you going from Sydney to Darwin. And you are, in my view, knowing you all your life, I thought, she's not a Darwin girl.
Yeah, and, I thought the same.
And I have found that God does send people to particular places that, you know, it doesn't look like it's a match at first, but then in their heart, they find it.
Yeah.
They get a love for the place.
Totally. And you know what? People are people. Like right. When you carry God's heart and his, vision for the church, I kind of feel like, I mean, you're there. Yeah, maybe there's some places that are slightly better convenience or better fit, but really I think if you just consecrate your life and you love people and you love God, right. he'll bless what you do. And he'll
That's
bless
right. Them. And I've always found that the presence of God accompanies you when you do what God says. We travel a lot, and people ask me, how do you find that? I say, well, without the Lord, it'd be dreadful, because you're always in motion. But actually, I feel the presence of God when I'm in those airports and in a plane. And then you find yourself in these foreign nations, and God is with you when you're doing what he's called you to do, no doubt.
That's right.
Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure talking with you all. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. And we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.